from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder, the 4 o'clock hour. Josh Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Dan Day and Jimmy here as well. Coming up this hour, we'll hear from Roman Harper, Super Bowl champion, won it down here with the Saints. He's part of SEC Network. He spoke with Solon at SEC Media Day. That one's coming up in the next segment. In the 5 o'clock hour, Benjamin Watson, Super Bowl champion, tight end, and also from the SEC Network. We'll hear from him at 5:20. It's time for the stock market report, sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. .com. The Dow Industrial Average slid about 1.3%. S&P 500 dropped 0.6%. And the NASDAQ lost 0.5% as well today. That's your stock market report, sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. So earlier in the show, I had teased these quarterback rankings. You know how we get into this lull in the summer. Training camp starts next week, 6 days from now for the Dolphins. And so a lot of these outlets are putting out their quarterback tiers, their quarterback rankings. Well, ESPN surveyed a bunch of different executives, coaches, and scouts.
Very good. Was any of that on the air just now?
No.
So that entire segment was off the air?
No, not the entire segment. You basically said that scouts and coaches have voted on who they think, and then it just went off.
Yeah, and you muted it yourself.
Interesting, because I don't remember muting myself at all. I wasn't even on the page where the StreamYard is going. And now my dog behind me, Wade, is like coughing up a storm and looking like he's going to throw up. What a chaotic start to this segment, huh?
That's the rankings, man. Sometimes those rankings can make chaos.
They throw everything off. Well, not chaotic is the pick at number one. It's Patrick Mahomes. Surprising to see Joe Burrow ranked as high as number two. Rest of the top five, Josh Allen 3, Lamar Jackson 4, Matthew Stafford 5, Justin Herbert 6. Interesting. CJ Stroud 7, Aaron Rodgers, interesting, 8, Jared Goff 9, and Dak Prescott 10. According to this, Tua, if you were wondering, and that's why I bring this up, 1, 2, 3, 4th on the honorable mentions list on this ranking, according to executives, coaches, and scouts in the league. I'm surprised that, you know, I wonder if this is the year if Justin Herbert and the Chargers struggle again to win, and don't win a playoff game. I know that, you know, Jim Harbaugh is there now, obviously, and Brandon Staley contributed a lot to the issues that went around that organization in the last couple of years. But I wonder if he starts to get some of the noise that maybe Tua gets in regard to winning some of these big games. He's puts up gaudy numbers, a lot like Tua did last year. But still, I mean, he's got that 27-0 blown lead against Jacksonville in the playoffs on his resume. They missed the playoffs last year, and at times he played well. But to me, he's like the ultimate tools guy that we see all the potential. We've seen all the flashes. He's been mostly good. But I think on the whole, we kind of overrate him. And I think putting him at 6 on this list is interesting. Dak Prescott at 10 is wild to me as well.
Yeah, that's always my litmus test. You ask a Cowboys fan if they'd rather have Dak or Tua, I think most of them would say Tua.
You think so?
I do, yeah.
I feel like they're narratively, they're kind of in similar spots in their organizations. Because I wonder if you ask that question to Dolphins fans, if they would say they'd rather have Dak than Tua.
No, you'd rather have Tua than Dak.
I agree with you. But it's the thing that you don't know is, like, you're used to Tua, you're used to Dak. It's like it's the backup quarterback phenomenon. It's the unknown, in a way.
Do you know any backup quarterbacks in the league, Josh?
Maybe.
Maybe.
By the way, if need be, could do pretty well in keeping this season afloat if he had to play for a stretch of games. I happen to think Mike is one of the better backups in the league. I know I might be a little biased there, but he's shown it in the past in some of his performances. It's why he earned a two-year contract here and the money that he did. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I the one thing, I guess, that Tua's missing on the resume is that playoff win. And I think that would alleviate and maybe make him a little more appealing in the eyes of a lot of these same execs and coaches and scouts. Because as far as the quote-unquote winning goes, Justin Herbert and Tua are in the same exact spot. And Tua's coming off a full season of playing where he led the league in passing, where the Dolphins were one of the best offenses in the league. And I know somebody texted in earlier that, you know, he hasn't won a playoff game. He deserves nothing. That's not how this sport works, right? You have a very talented quarterback. You re-sign that quarterback. There aren't other options to replace the face of your franchise. And again, we've beaten this dead horse for a while of should they pay Tua? Shouldn't they pay Tua? Is he the guy going forward? I mean, yes is the answer to that question. Yes. And I'm so curious if the rumors are true, what that Jordan Love contract is going to look like. Because that is going to, again, throw another wrench into things. Like, I think Tua is better than Trevor Lawrence at this point. I don't know if Tua is going to get that money or if the Dolphins want to give him that kind of money that Trevor Lawrence got from the Jaguars. But like I said earlier, this thing needs to get resolved. And I hope it does in the next week before training camp really starts to kick into high gear.
I don't know. Doesn't seem like it will be.
I mean, you never know. These things can change on a dime, but like it's not productive for any party here to still be going through this entering training camp. I know holdouts are common, but this is the starting quarterback on a team that has Super Bowl aspirations this year and essentially needs to win this year, right? Or do some kind of modicum of winning. We'd love to see a Super Bowl, but at least go on a little bit of a run in the postseason. I mentioned the Will Brinson CBS Sports Network. He did it in tiers, and it's very similar to the ESPN ranking. They've got Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen as tier one, the big three, and then Burrow, Stroud, and Jordan Love in tier two, who could join them next year in tier one. I'm with you, Dan Day. I think Jordan Love is getting a lot of hype for a guy that had a very good season, his first year as a full-time starter. I think that's very lofty praise and lofty expectations.
I think in a way, it's kind of what the taste that you leave in someone's mouth. Like Tua kind of at the end of the season failed to really win a big game, and his only big game was against Dallas, who we know didn't play very well in the playoffs. So like he kind of thudded out at the end of the season, and Jordan Love did the opposite. He was bad at the beginning of the season, but he was on an upward trend at the end of the season, and people remember that. So I think maybe that's the reason why there's so much love there for C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love, and not so much love for Tua, because our last impressions were of Tua not getting it done when he needed to, and C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love over-impressing us, or at least overperforming.
Yeah, I mean, I did the Steelers-Packers game in Pittsburgh last season, and the Packers lost that game to Pittsburgh on the road. Jordan Love drove the Packers down twice into the red zone late in the fourth quarter, and both times threw an interception. And so he was going through those struggles, and no doubt about it, like we said, he got better as the year went on, obviously. And I think there's a lot to that, what you're saying. It's the last thing that everybody saw these guys do. Everybody remembers Jordan Love playing very well. Everybody remembers C.J. Stroud having the rookie season that he did. The last thing we saw from Tua was throwing an interception in a last game against the Bills. Not that it was his fault, per se, against Tennessee, but the Dolphins blowing that game. They had the Dallas win sandwiched between that. But then the performance in the playoffs against Kansas City. And like I said at the time, it's so hard for me to fully judge him on that one performance because of all of the outside factors that Kansas City had to deal with as well. No doubt about it. I don't think that it's controversial. I think everybody would agree that this Dolphin offense doesn't play all that well in conditions that are adverse. Not that they are incapable, but in those specific worse than freezing temperatures, clearly it changes the dynamic of everything that they do. I would hope that they don't put themselves in a spot this year where they have to go on the road throughout the entire postseason, that this is the year they can finally get over the hump and win the division and get a home playoff game or two. Because if they are going to go on a run, that is how it'll have to be. The games will have to be down here.
Well, that's
cannot be in conditions like they played in the Kansas City.
Well, that's another thing people will remember. You had a chance when you went into Baltimore to not just be winning your division, but to possibly be the number one overall seed. Yeah. And then you go Buffalo with everything to play for at home, no adverse conditions, last game of the season, and nothing. You get beat. So people look at that and say, maybe Tua doesn't have what it takes to be in this top tier.
But I don't think he has to be in that top tier, right? I think that he can be in that second tier of guys and the Dolphins can still be hugely successful and win the Super Bowl. I really do.
No, I'm seeing now, that, but I'm saying maybe some of the people that are putting these polls and tiers together are taking that into maybe more effect than a lot of other things.
It's possible. It's certainly possible. And it's unfortunate now because last year was the year. We got to get the headlines in a second. Last year was the year to beat Kansas City. With the way that offense had struggled, with the way that they lacked weapons on the offensive side. They did such a tremendous job in the offseason of adding even more speed to that offense. Xavier Worthy in the draft. I believe Hollywood Brown, too, is a Chief now. So there's speed all over the place, obviously, to go along with Kelce and Pacheco. And you've got the best quarterback head coach duo, maybe of all time, in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, we bring up how the season ended, and it's impossible not to think of that Tennessee game because it made all the other games even more pressure-packed. And if you remember that Baltimore game, I want to say that they traded touchdown for touchdown with them, what, up to 14-14? And then Baltimore took the game over from there, Tua threw a couple of interceptions, and that was that. And unfortunately, they weren't able to come back from a 21-point deficit for the second straight year in Baltimore. But look, Tua's the guy. Need that contract to get done. And I think until, as we've said, he proves otherwise in these adverse situations, going on the road or winning a big pressure-filled game. I know Dallas is one of them, but he clearly needs to perform more, as you said, Dan, for others to give him that respect of being in that upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league, regardless of what his exceptional production has been. Let's get ahead.
Want to score tax-free tickets to Kaseya Center concerts like Nicki Minaj, Usher, and Shakira? plus Miami Heat preseason games, visit KaseyaCenter.com to shop the hottest acts tax-free in July. This tax-free deal is valid for all events scheduled throughout the end of the year. Miami Heat, they are over in Las Vegas. They're going to be playing their fourth game there in the Summer League. That is going to be tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, against the Toronto Raptors.
You going to be watching?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be watching because I'll be at Duffy's Implantation tomorrow night playing music, and it'll be on the TV, so I'll definitely have to watch it.
I won't be watching.
Okay. It's been fun to watch Khalil Ware. I think he's very athletic and dynamic, and he had 24 yesterday and I think 11 rebounds. So, yeah, it's exciting. I like to see it.
Khalil Ware does seem like an exciting prospect. Obviously, with the Heat's drafting chops and developmental abilities, you've got to be excited about what you've seen so far with Khalil Ware. It seems like he can be a contributor to this. Well, he'll have to be a contributor to this team come the regular season.
Hey, Messi, he doesn't have to contribute for Inter Miami to win. They took care of Toronto FC at 3-1 last night. Federico Redondo had a brace. The Chicago Fire, not the greatest team in the league. They're coming into town Saturday at 7:30. Of course, Messi, his ankle's really bad. We're not going to see him probably for a while, but definitely not Saturday.
If they keep winning, I'm eagerly awaiting somebody to write the "Is Inter Miami better without Messi?" my column.
Already saw the articles. Argentina was better without Messi. When he went out of the game, they got better. It's like, oh goodness,
here that game was terrible.
Yeah, everything about it was pretty bad.
Literally, like every single aspect of it,
from the beginning, pregame.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're new.
We don't have to relitigate that, though. We did that enough on
Yeah, yeah. New FIFA World Rankings have been released. Argentina remains at number one. Spain goes up to 3. If you're wondering where Colombia is at, they are number 9, and the U.S. is at 16th.
I wish I knew more of the ins and outs. We should have had Witty on to maybe talk about the U.S. soccer coaching search and what direction that's going in. It seems like they're going the European route.
Yeah, kind of need to do that. They need to get a foreign coach with a different type of attitude, but that's just me. On to an update for the golf leaderboard at the Open Championship. It is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops. Get there over there in Great Britain. It is an Irishman and an Englishman atop the leaderboard. 5 under, Shane Lowry. He's the Irish guy. Daniel Brown is the English guy. They are 2 strokes ahead of Justin Thomas, who is the United States guy, after just the first day of play at the Open.
I'm very happy to see Justin Thomas near the top of the leaderboard. It's been a real struggle for him, I feel like, over the last year or two. So good to see him back near the top of the leaderboard. If you're wondering, Tiger Woods shot 8 over today.
He's not gonna make
the cut. He's tied for 139.
He will not make the cut, it doesn't seem like.
Does not seem like that. You know, he had some fiery comments yesterday or the day before towards Colin Montgomery, who basically was like, yeah, Tiger's got to hang it up. You know, he's not going to compete in these majors anymore. Like, it's time. Mm. And Tiger had a great clap back and goes, no, I'm exempt in all these tournaments from until I'm 60 years old because I've had that much success in my career and have won. So I get exemptions until 60, which means I get to decide. Mm. I do. Colin Montgomery, he didn't get to decide.
I like Tiger trash.
Woods, I do.
Golf trash talk. I like it. It's cool. On to weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Hot, but cooling down as the evening goes on in South Florida.
I'm not the only person to experience this, but I walked from my car into my house today and immediately had a sweaty back. A swack. All right, coming up at 4:20. Next segment, it's 4:23. Just kidding. Okay, so a little peek behind the curtain. I have the show mapped out on a Word document, and I just have it as times ending in zeros. So I have 4:20 Roman Harper coming up. It's obviously 4:23. And then the next segment, it won't be 4:20. So Roman Harper of SEC Network, Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints, had a great conversation with Solana at SEC Media Days, and that is coming up next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You're not going to learn anything about Dame Lillard on this show, but you might learn a little bit about liver function.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. Josh Rappel in with Dan Day and Jimmy. Hawk, Crowder, and Solana will be back on Monday. But if you've been listening to the show today, it's almost like Solana's here. And before we get to his next contribution to today's show, we do have some Dolphin news that I want to pass along before we hear from Solana and Roman Harper of SEC Network. The Dolphins made some roster moves about a half an hour ago. Savon Ahmed was placed on the active non-football injury list. And since we were talking about Jalen Phillips earlier, and I erroneously said he's likely going to be ready by week one, we don't know that because Phillips, along with Bradley Chubb, Cameron Good, and Isaiah Wynn, were placed on the active, physically unable to perform list. So it seems like the rehab, that's a stuff that we knew was going to happen, obviously. All those guys are rehabbing for major injuries. So I would imagine Jalen Phillips, if he's not ready week one, will be ready shortly after. It looks like his rehab is going well. But those are the roster moves the Dolphins made today to make those things official in anticipation of training camp opening up next week. Solana was in Dallas all week for SEC Media Day, and he had a chance to talk with a Super Bowl champion from the New Orleans Saints. That was actually the Super Bowl that they won down here against Peyton Manning and the Colts in the rain. Roman Harper of SEC Network joins Solana this week at SEC Media Day.
Back at SEC Media Days, looking forward to this one. Part of our Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour. It's presented by Duffy Sports Grill. And I'm excited, sitting across from me is a man who won a Super Bowl in Miami. Roman Harper.
Best place to win a Super Bowl. Well, out there, period.
I want to get into
that. No better place.
I want to get into that. Maybe some after-party stories.
No question.
Roman Harper, he's a Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, first-team All-SEC, played at Alabama, won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints, and now he joins me here at SEC Media Days. Roman, appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Alejandro. Appreciate that, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, everybody that has come by.
Oh, and shout-out to my man John Vilma, who's on the
– Yes, sir.
He's one of the Orange Bowl committee people.
Yes.
So shout-out to my man JV.
Miami legend. Miami legend.
He'll never leave. He'll never leave.
This is cool for me because 2010, you're in Miami. You're playing in the Super Bowl. Back then, it was Sun Life Stadium. Now it's Hard Rock Stadium. It looks a little different now.
Oh, they've definitely upgraded.
Yeah. Have you been since the upgrades?
I went to the Orange Bowl, Alabama, Oklahoma a couple years ago. Shout out to my man JV with another hookup on the tickets. Shout out. I mean, we had the great seats, too, right there in the 73 zone. So the
72,
yeah, 72 zones. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Super Bowl year.
That's our undefeated. See, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. That's the greatest year of my life, Roman. I still hold on to that.
I mean, Mercury Morris does too.
And so Larry Zonka too, man. Yeah, dude, he's tweeting all games.
I'm
all
not
games.
Mad. But no, man, it was the stadium. I mean, having the own TVs in front of you, the food, everything was electric. It was awesome. Great. I mean, you guys have been the example of what you can do with this already existing stadium if you continue to just take care of it. A lot of other people should look at what you guys have been able to do down there in Miami with that stadium.
Stephen Ross has he's put a lot of money into. We got F1 now. Yeah. There was soccer tournaments.
Yes.
Crazy. So take me back to that. I know it was, 14 years ago now. Your Saints beat the Colts at Sun Life Stadium. What were, some of your core memories from that? Other than, look, you won the Super Bowl. That's, the culmination of your life's-long dream,
right.
I know, but you know, from Radio Row being there, the full week of practice.
Yeah, so the week before you're in New Orleans, and you know we're going hard, and so you get to Miami, and it's media crazy. It's people from all across the world. You get people interviewing you from different countries for the first time, and you know we had a linebacker, Scott Fujita, who was an adopted child, who's 6'5" something, and his parents are Japanese, and he was the first Japanese chance to win a Super Bowl is the Japanese person. So, they were there interviewing him. It was really, really cool to see all these different people here and all around. And you really get to see it and pay attention to it once you get into the Super Bowl. Then you hear about all the media. We were not the favorite, so we get to hear about Peyton Manning and this, that, and other all week. And you're just tired of it. You know, of course, everybody, you can read Sean Payton's book about us missing, being late to the media stuff. I mean, we kind of partied hard, but that's who we were as a team.
That's what I want to know about.
We kind of partied hard, all right? We went hard. We went to Club Bed, for all those that don't know or used to know where that is, right there on the ocean down there.
It's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore. But it used to be the spot on a Monday night, so it was good. And it was really funny because I look back and we see all some Colts players in there, and they had acted like they had been there before because they had been.
Yeah.
And we were totally acting like we had never been there before because we hadn't been. And it was a great time, and we ended up winning that game. The onside kick, I remember Sean Payton coming in at halftime because I was the one that was supposed to refield it. So he comes in and is like, hey, we're running ambush. And is the defense, because most of us are on the kickoff team, dude, let's call it. All right, whatever. It's, you know, halftime of Super Bowl is 20 minutes, so it's a lot longer than what you normally have. And I didn't know if he was going to continue to keep the play on, but I'm like, dude, we're trying to work on defense here. Just if you're going to call it, just call it. We're good. We've been practicing it for 3 months, so it's whatever.
That's crazy to me, though. Hey, your coach comes in, biggest game of everybody's life. Yeah, we're going to run an onside kick here coming out of halftime. That's still one of the ballsiest calls ever, right?
I think it is ever, ever. In the moment, the situation, nobody else has ever done it.
But it's genius because it worked out.
Because it worked out.
Yeah.
And the kick wasn't perfect. Hank Baskins kind of let it bounce off of him. It wasn't because we never actually practiced what if somebody else doesn't touch it besides me. We never practiced that.
Crazy.
And we just reacted. And Chris Reese was happened to be Johnny on the spot. And I dove right on him. It was it was crazy. And then the rest is history,
then
right?
But you knew, right, at that point?
No, we didn't. No? We still had to score a couple times. And, of course, we were playing MVP Peyton Manning at the time. And so we really had to just kind of seal the deal. And I didn't know till we stopped him on that last drive. But Tracy Porter getting the interception really, really helped. And then you get to celebrate. And there's no better place to celebrate a Super Bowl win than in Miami because nothing closes. And you can literally get it how you live, however you want it.
So 2010, I was a freshman in high school. But I can imagine back then it was still –
Oh, yeah, man. I had all my boys with me because I was single and young and, all my boys from high school. And it was, on, bro.
Uh-huh.
It was on.
Well,
don't
reveal too much.
I'm not going to.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
No, I can't get in trouble. I'm good.
Was it Club Bed for the post game also? After the Super Bowl, you guys party?
No, it was not.
Because I don't think Liv was.
No, no guys, some guys did do Liv. They were charged, Lil Wayne and everybody. It was, 20-something grand a table. I didn't pay that. That's all you need
Drew,
to know.
Drew did. Drew's pulling in the money. So I just got the motion. We don't have too much time left. I'm going to run through some questions that I had for you.
Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa, some of the comparisons down in Miami have been Drew Brees. Do you think those are fair? You got to play against Drew in practice for years. You won a Super Bowl with him. Do you think those are fair comparisons?
What? I would love him to have the trajectory of Drew Brees. I think it can be fair, but you got to think about it. Dude, after 4 years, Drew Brees got replaced in San Diego.
Right.
Okay? So if Tua's on that trajectory where all of a sudden Drew, by year 6, 7, 8, when he got to New Orleans – was freaking fantastic. That's when he hit his stride. And so everybody's expecting Tua to be this, this, and this, and they want to say this. Dude, if he is on a Drew Brees trajectory, then let's give him 2 more years, and he will continue to figure out his game and be even more accurate, to be even more on time, to be even more deliberate and everything else. And then the team around him will continue to grow, and then they'll continue to get better. They've been really unhealthy down there in Miami.
Yeah.
They've been really beat up, and it's really caused them. And then going on the road in Kansas City, I don't think Miami ever wins a game in the playoffs when it's 20 degrees.
Nah, I don't. Well, it was like minus 20 degrees, actually. Again, Roman Harper, former NFL and Alabama safety. You do the Second Axe podcast,
yes.
You and Peanut Tillman. I'm a big fan of what you and Peanut are doing. I do a show with Channing Crowder, who's not with us right now.
Yeah.
But he's had that transition after football. And, you know, it took him some time doing radio. Now he's blowing up with the Pivot podcast.
Yep.
And that's kind of what the basis of your podcast is, right? You and Peanut Tillman kind of trying to talk with guys almost like a therapy session.
Yeah, it is.
Of sorts. And talk about that transition after football and what comes next.
You know, it's really been great for me as well, because when I'm not trying to say we're hazing anybody, but when you get hazed or when you're hazing other people, like, you become hazing yourself. And the fact of, like, I'm learning more about myself as I talk to others. And I'm looking at them, and I'm kind of sometimes looking in the mirror. And it also is like, man, vulnerability equals strength. And so I'm able to be vulnerable with these guys. They're really opening up to us. They're talking to us about things that they probably wouldn't talk to others about. Why? Because we've been in the same room. We've kind of walked that same line with them. And everybody's in their second act right now. So how are we doing it? How are we accomplishing it? And the thing we all have really known is that there is no rule book. There is no guidelines to this. Everybody kind of has to do it on their own and figure it out on their own. And, like, it's tough. And there nobody really talks about it, because we're supposed to be big, tough guys and football guys. We got all this money. We got all these successes. And all of a sudden, you don't have a jersey anymore, and what do you do? Something that has defined you your whole life, and all of a sudden now is no longer there. Like, who are you? And we all kind of go through that transitional phase of trying to figure out who we want to be, what do we want to try and do, whether it's coaching, whether being around football, all these other things, being in business. It's been really, 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 really cool to see everybody, so many people's journey, so many great players that I looked up to and that I've actually got to know and got to sit down with and sit across from and just learn about their life. Hearing all the great Andre Bad Moon Rising stories was, like, fantastic. Like, man, so good. Hearing Cam Newton's stories from the heart.
Right.
I was his teammate, but hearing stuff from the heart was really, really cool to kind of see. And we got so many other guys. We got another one we got going in Charlotte in a couple weeks. And then the NFL continues to promote us, and it's really, really doing good. And it's been very therapeutic for a lot of these players to let everybody else know that their story about their journey.
Again, you can follow that podcast, Second Axe Podcast,
yep,
on your Instagram, Roman Harper as well. Appreciate the time, man. It was fun catching up with you and talking about Miami. And
no doubt.
And
when we won that Super Bowl, we played Miami early in the year Sun Life Stadium. You guys were up 21. Ricky Williams was running. He had like an 80-yard run, and nobody touched him. And my cornerback, Tracy Porter, dove into the ground because he didn't want to tackle him, and I don't blame him. But we came back, and I never forget, after that game, he said, man, we're coming back here. And Drew Brees, that was the first time I seen him spike a ball. He, like, jumped up and dunked it on the goal line.
I was there.
Post.
I was there. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
We said we were going to come back there and do that, man. And it was really a pleasure that we got to do that. So, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Roman Harper. We'll take a break. More from SEC Media Days next on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, you know what the tornado maneuver is?
Hock and Crowder.
Welcome back to Hock and Crowder. Winding down to the 4 o'clock hour. Hawk, Crowder, and Solana will be back on Monday. They're on vacation for the rest of this week. I believe Crowder has a comedy show on Sunday in Tampa. So I'm doing a radio hit up in Tampa from earlier today. Crowder's so good at that, man. I don't know if did you guys go to any of his previous shows?
No.
No, I have not either.
Dan, you said that in a weird tone.
Yeah, I'm out every single night doing things. He's never come to anything that I've done. So when I had to give up a Sunday night to go to somewhere, like, ah, man, come on, bro.
I mean, you could have gone to the one down here, the Dania Beach Improv, the Miami Improv.
The Miami one was on like a Thursday night I was working. The Sunday one was the one where I was like, And no free passes, by the way. You had to buy tickets, so.
To the Improv?
I would have had to, yes.
I'm not so certain.
Okay. I do know him, so maybe he would have helped me out. But I actually did hear it was very, very funny, and I've seen some clips, and it looks hilarious.
Yeah, I went to the first show in Miami. He was phenomenal. I wasn't able to make it to the second one in Dania, but I would imagine it was just as good. He did the one at the draft, too, in Detroit, and now he's got a show in Tampa on Sunday. So I'll be back with the show today, or for this show, on Monday with Hawk and with Solana. Thank you to Solana for all the hard work he put forth in Dallas this past week for SEC Media Day, getting a ton of interviews for us. We've got one more to play for you in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Benjamin Watson, Super Bowl champion tight end, and another contributor to SEC Network. Solana had Kirby Smart on earlier. His conversation with Andrea Adelson, and you just heard with Roman Harper, were excellent. Of course, Eric Palm, CEO of the Orange Bowl committee as well. You can find those all on the Hockman and Crowder podcast feed. Guys, earlier we were talking about Matthew Tkachuk's day with the Stanley Cup. And it got me thinking that if we had a day with the Stanley Cup to do whatever we wanted to do with it, what would we do? And the first place that my mind went to was boneless wings. I would love to eat some boneless wings out of the Stanley Cup.
Interesting.
Very on brand for me, I feel like.
That does sound like you, because you are the only person I've ever known that's gone to Anchor Bar, where buffalo wings were invented, and got boneless wings.
And I stand by that decision.
Who are you with again that you embarrassed?
I was with our producer and my analyst on our crew, on our Sports USA crew for the Bills game that we were calling that weekend. We found actually a better place called Duff's. In my opinion, it's better.
Okay.
That has phenomenal bings, bone out wings. And that's usually our spot that we go to. And the waitress did make fun of me the last time at Duff's for ordering the bings.
Ooh.
But I feel like it's only right that if I had a day with the cup, I would just eat boneless wings out of it.
Sounds
and
like a
drink
deal.
A nice frosty Coke out of the top as well.
My cup sees
Jimmy, what
things.
Would you do?
I would do the Roberto Luongo thing, that he ate pasta out of the cup.
Oof. Yeah.
That looked so good.
You know, it looked like they added a bowl into the cup. So
that has
like,
been, yes.
I get it, but also, I mean, you should hose it down after. All right. And Phil Pritchard, please.
You got to give credit to Roberto Luongo, though. That pasta was boiling hot, and he was trying not to eat it right away, but he knew he kind of had to because everybody was watching. He had to have burned his mouth.
Worth it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you if you ask him, it's absolutely worth it because his career with the Panthers, with the Canucks, never got close in Florida. Obviously blew a 2-0 lead and lost a game 7 in Vancouver in 2011. So this cup has eluded him. Not quite as long as our boy Paul Maurice, but it certainly eluded him enough where burning your tongue, burning the roof of your mouth on some pasta, eating it out of the cup, probably worth it.
And his name is now on the cup. It's one of the people from the front office that was put in those first two rows, along with the Viola family.
Yeah, which is interesting to me. I figured it would just be Vinny's name with, you know, and family, and you would imagine that it was at the expense of certain other members of the staff that didn't make it onto the cup. But they'll all get their day with it. That's for sure. I thought it was really cool that Patrick Hornquist had his name on the cup as being a part of this organization. They were able to petition to get Josh Mahura and Jonah Gadjevich, who both contributed. Because, you know, it felt like this was like the culmination of a 2-year run, right? So like if the Panthers don't come back and beat Boston and they go out in 5 games or they lose in 6 games, I don't know if this cup run this year happens. Like, it felt like that getting over that hump really catapulted them forward. And Josh Mahura was such a big part of that team that even though he only played, you know, 10, 15 games, whatever it was, at the beginning of the year when Brandon Montour and Aaron Ekblad were out, that was a huge chunk of the season for the Panthers they had to get through. And I was happy to see his name on the cup. Jonah Gadjevich, I think that the requirement of games played has to be 41, and he was at 39.
Yep.
So they still got him on the cup. Still surreal to me that we're even talking about this.
Yeah.
Dan, I think you kind of ducked the question a bit. On what you would do. Would you take the cup to Duffy's for trivia night?
I'm glad you asked that because I've thought long and hard about this. What time of the day am I getting the cup at, theoretically?
You have the cup for the day.
But do they bring it in the morning or do they bring it at night and I have it for 24
hours?
Pretty
sure it's the morning.
Okay, so first things first, hitting up the dive bars and running around, like maybe hit up the Max Club Deuce, then On the Rocks in my neighborhood. Then when I get hungry, I'm going to take it to Funky Buddha because they're the official craft beer of the Florida Panthers, and they have food, so I might get something in my stomach, get some Funky Buddha. Then as the evening goes on, yeah, got to go to Duffy's because there's so many people there that have supported the Panthers running around. And then just basically that's what I would do is go to breweries and dive bars all day and take the cup around. And whoever wants to drink out of it, have at it. Whatever you want to drink. Well, when I say whatever, you know, that's edible, whether it be beer or soda, I'm not going to judge. You can drink out of the cup. That's all I say.
That's what the Panthers were doing in the days after when they were partying around South Florida, which was one of the coolest things about the whole celebration was how involved all the fans got in the celebration. A couple of people write in on the text line that they did a Fudgy the Whale out of the cup.
What is that?
From Carvel. Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale.
Cake.
Okay.
Ice cream cake.
What did you think that was?
I've heard there's been some strange things going on with the cup, so I didn't know if there was
Fudgy the Whale's like an ice cream cake from Carvel, I'm pretty
sure. Okay, yeah. I think I've even had a Fudgy the Whale ice cream cake from our dude Duty that hooks us up every once in a while.
Yeah, that's the Carvel signature cake. Culture yourself, Dan Day.
Okay, ice cream cake. I know this show.
How are you a trivia host and don't know that the signature cake of Carvel is a Fudgy the Whale?
Man, I don't know, man. Some things slip through, you know? That's just the way it is sometimes.
It's a pretty big one.
I know we
Speaking
got...
of slipping through, yep. Somebody claims also on the text that somebody did a number 2 in the Stanley Cup years ago. I'm not sure I believe that.
I don't know. I did meet the keeper of the cup last year during the run through the finals.
I did as well.
Did you ask him if someone pooped in it?
That was not one of my top questions. It was more about what his personal life was like and what some of the craziest things. He did not list some of the craziest things as someone taking a deuce in the cup.
Somebody said that they'd have to take it to Jackson to see if they could put the kitchen sink that Sunday and eat it out of the top of the cup. That's a great idea. South Florida institution. You get the whole kitchen sink in there. I love that idea.
That place is crazy, man.
I haven't been to Jackson's in so long.
Oh, it's been a while, from pre-COVID for sure.
And I live like 15, 20 minutes away from it. Oh. I always drive by and the line is just so long and just I defeat it before I even get there.
Yeah, the line is pretty crazy and long. I heard they used to have monkeys, but they don't have monkeys anymore, do they? I know they don't have monkeys anymore, but did they ever have monkeys? Like you could wait in
live
line?
Monkeys?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
What?
That was what I was told. It's Dania Beach area, you know?
No chance. Jimmy, what were you going
to
say?
No, I was saying I've never been to Jackson's in my life. I have to go.
Yes, absolutely. You would love it there.
Oh, I'll be so full after that day.
Well, hopefully you potentially have the chance to get out of a cup in an alternate universe.
Actually, you know what? Yeah,
or a Fudgy the Whale.
I'll change my answer. I'll take it to Jackson's.
All right, great.
Not bad.
I love that. Somebody said they'd stand on the corner of 441 and charge $20 to take a picture of the cup. Imagine that's allowed. I'm not sure. You mentioned some of the crazy things people have done with the cup. I'm not sure Phil Pritchard appreciated the cup going into the Atlantic Ocean. But that is now a story that will be told forever.
Oh, it infuriated the purist of the sport. I'm sure they're extremely mad about that. Yeah. Good for them.
Absolutely. Coming up next, it's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. And we'll also hear from Benjamin Watson in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Josh Appel in for Hawk and Crowder. Dan Day and Jimmy in with us as well. Back after this on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This is what Instagram was made for. Me and Tree eating hot dogs.
Hawk and Crowder.
Hey, it's Hawk on vacation, but always thinking about the Cheetah Pompano Beach. Now, that's a great spot to watch any big sporting event, any big fight card. Yeah, baseball is pretty much all. I mean, you've got obviously All-Star Week, but baseball for the Marlins won't kick up again until the end of the week. They've got, though,
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder, winding down to the 4 o'clock hour. Hawk, Crowder, and Solana will be back on Monday. They're on vacation for the rest of this week. I believe Crowder has a comedy show on Sunday in Tampa. So I'm doing a radio hit up in Tampa from earlier today. Crowder's so good at that, man. I don't know if did you guys go to any of his previous shows?
No.
No, I have not either.
Dan, you said that in a weird tone.
Yeah, I'm out every single night doing things. He's never come to anything that I've done. So when I had to give up a Sunday night to go to somewhere, like, man, come on, bro.
You could have gone to the one down here, the Dania Beach Improv, the Miami Improv.
The Miami one was on like a Thursday night I was working. The Sunday one was the one where I was like, And no free passes, by the way. You had to buy tickets, so.
To the Improv?
I would have had to, yes.
I'm not so certain.
Okay. I do know him, so maybe he would have helped me out. But I actually did hear it was very, very funny, and I've seen some clips, and it looks hilarious.
Yeah, I went to the first show in Miami. He was phenomenal. I wasn't able to make it to the second one in Dania, but I would imagine it was just as good. He did the one at the draft, too, in Detroit, and now he's got a show in Tampa on Sunday. So he'll be back with the show today, or for this show, on Monday with Hawk and with Solana. Thank you to Solana for all the hard work he put forth in Dallas this past week for SEC Media Day, getting a ton of interviews for us. We've got one more to play for you in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Benjamin Watson, Super Bowl champion tight end, and another contributor to SEC Network. Solana had Kirby Smart on earlier. His conversation with Andrea Adelson, and you just heard with Roman Harper, were excellent. Of course, Eric Palm, CEO of the Orange Bowl committee as well. You can find those all on the Hawkman and Crowder podcast feed. Guys, earlier we were talking about Matthew Tkachuk's day with the Stanley Cup. And it got me thinking that if we had a day with the Stanley Cup to do whatever we wanted to do with it, what would we do? And the first place that my mind went to was boneless wings. I would love to eat some boneless wings out of the Stanley Cup.
Interesting.
Very on brand for me, I feel like.
That does sound like you, because you are the only person I've ever known that's gone to Anchor Bar, where buffalo wings were invented, and got boneless wings.
And I stand by that
decision. Who are you with again that you embarrassed?
I was with our producer and my analyst on our crew, on our Sports USA crew for the Bills game that we were calling that weekend. We found actually a better place called Duff's. In my opinion, it's better.
Okay.
That has phenomenal bings, bone out wings. And that's usually our spot that we go to. And the waitress did make fun of me the last time at Duff's for ordering the bings.
Ooh.
But I feel like it's only right that if I had a day with the cup, I would just eat boneless wings out of it.
Sounds
and
like a deal.
Drink a nice frosty Coke out of the top as well.
My cup sees.
Jimmy, what
things.
Would you do?
I would do the Roberto Luongo thing that he ate pasta out of the cup.
Yeah.
That looked so good.
You know, it looked like they added a bowl into the cup. So
that has
like,
been, yes.
I get it, but also, I mean, you should hose it down after. All right. And Phil Pritchard, please.
You got to give credit to Roberto Luongo, though. That pasta was boiling hot, and he was trying not to eat it right away, but he knew he kind of had to because everybody was watching. He had to have burned his mouth.
Worth it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you if you ask him, it's absolutely worth it because his career with the Panthers, with the Canucks, never got close in Florida. Obviously blew a 2-0 lead and lost a game 7 in Vancouver in 2011. So this cup has eluded him not quite as long as our boy Paul Maurice, but it certainly eluded him enough where burning your tongue, burning the roof of your mouth on some pasta, eating it out of the cup, probably worth it.
And his name is now on the cup. It's one of the people from the front office that was put in those first two rows, along with the Viola family.
Yeah, which is interesting to me. I figured it would just be Vinny's name with, you know, and family. And you would imagine that it was at the expense of certain other members of the staff that didn't make it onto the cup. But they'll all get their day with it, that's for sure. I thought it was really cool that Patrick Hornquist had his name on the cup as being a part of this organization. They were able to petition to get Josh Mahura and Jonah Gadjevich, who both contributed. Because, you know, it felt like this was like the culmination of a 2-year run, right? So like if the Panthers don't come back and beat Boston and they go out in 5 games or they lose in 6 games, I don't know if this cup run this year happens. Like it felt like that getting over that hump really catapulted them forward. And Josh Mahura was such a big part of that team that even though he only played, you know, 10, 15 games, whatever it was, at the beginning of the year when Brandon Montour and Aaron Ekblad were out, that was a huge chunk of the season for the Panthers they had to get through. And I was happy to see his name on the cup. Jonah Gadjevich, I think that the requirement of games played has to be 41, and he was at 39.
Yep.
So they still got him on the cup. Still surreal to me that we're even talking about this.
Yeah.
Dan, I think you kind of ducked the question a bit. On what you would do. Would you take the cup to Duffy's for trivia night?
I'm glad you asked that because I've thought long and hard about this. What time of the day am I getting the cup at, theoretically?
You have the cup for the day.
But do they bring it in the morning or do they bring it at night and I have it for 24
hours?
Pretty
sure it's the morning.
Okay, so first things first, hitting up the dive bars and running around, like maybe hit up the Max Club Deuce, then On the Rocks in my neighborhood. Then when I get hungry, I'm going to take it to Funky Buddha because they're the official craft beer of the Florida Panthers, and they have food, so I might get something in my stomach, get some Funky Buddha. Then as the evening goes on, yeah, got to go to Duffy's because there's so many people there that have supported the Panthers running around. And then just basically that's what I would do is go to breweries and dive bars all day and take the cup around. And whoever wants to drink out of it, have at it. Whatever you want to drink. Well, when I say whatever, you know, that's edible, whether it be beer or soda, I'm not going to judge. You can drink out of the cup. That's all I say.
That's what the Panthers were doing in the days after when they were partying around South Florida, which was one of the coolest things about the whole celebration was how involved all the fans got in the celebration. A couple of people write in on the text line that they did a Fudgy the Whale out of the cup.
What is that?
From Carvel. Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale.
Cake.
Okay.
Ice cream cake.
What did you think that was?
I've heard there's been some strange things going on with the cup, so I didn't know if there was
Fudgy the Whale's like an ice cream cake from Carvel, I'm pretty
sure. Oh, okay, yeah. I think I've even had a Fudgy the Whale ice cream cake from our dude Duty that hooks us up every once in a while.
Yeah, that's the Carvel signature cake. Culture yourself, Dan Day.
Okay, ice cream cake. I know this show.
How are you a trivia host and don't know that the signature cake of Carvel is a Fudgy the Whale?
Man, I don't know, man. Some things slip through, you know? That's just the way it is sometimes.
It's a pretty big one.
I know we
Speaking
got
of slipping through, yep. Somebody claims also on the text that somebody did a number 2 in the Stanley Cup years ago. I'm not sure I believe that.
I don't know. I did meet the keeper of the cup last year during the run through the finals.
I did as well.
Did you ask him if someone pooped in it?
That was not one of my top questions. It was more about what his personal life was like and what some of the craziest things. He did not list some of the craziest things as someone taking a deuce in the cup.
Somebody said that they'd have to take it to Jackson to see if they could put the kitchen sink that Sunday and eat it out of the top of the cup. That's a great idea. Mm. South Florida institution. You get the whole kitchen sink in there. I love that idea.
That place is crazy, man.
I haven't been to Jackson's in so long.
Oh, it's been a while. From pre-COVID, for sure.
And I live like 15, 20 minutes away from it. Oh. I always drive by it. The line is just so long. And just I defeat it before I even get there.
Yeah, the line is pretty crazy and long. I heard they used to have monkeys, but they don't have monkeys anymore, do they? I know they don't have monkeys anymore, but did they ever have monkeys? Like, you could wait in line?
Live monkeys?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
What?
That was what I was told. It's Dania Beach area, you know?
No chance. Jimmy, what were you going
to
say?
No, I was saying I've never been to Jackson's in my life. I have to go.
Yes, absolutely. You would love it there.
Oh, I'll be so full after that day.
Well, hopefully you potentially have the chance to get out of a cup in an alternate universe.
Actually, you know what?
Or a fucking whale.
I'll change my answer. I'll take it to Jackson's.
All right, great.
Not bad.
I love that. Somebody said they'd stand on the corner of 441 and charge $20 to take a picture of the cup.
Hmm.
Imagine that's allowed. I'm not sure. You mentioned some of the crazy things people have done with the cup. I'm not sure Phil Pritchard appreciated the cup going into the Atlantic Ocean. But that is now a story that will be told forever.
Oh, it infuriated the purest of the sport. I'm sure they're extremely mad about that. Yeah.
Good.
Good for them.
Absolutely. Coming up next, it's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. And we'll also hear from Benjamin Watson in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Josh Appel in for Hawk and Crowder. Dan Day and Jimmy in with us as well. Back after this on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This is what Instagram was made for. Me and Tree eating hot dogs.
Hawk and Crowder.
Hey, it's Hawk on vacation, but always thinking about the Cheetah Pompano Beach. Now, that's a great spot to watch any big sporting event, any big fight card. Yeah, baseball is pretty much all. I mean, you've got obviously All-Star Week, but baseball for the Marlins won't kick up again until the end of the week. They've got, though,
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.